Play, a murder game played by people whose business is murder. And here to see Foul Play is your chairman, Simon Brett.
Hello, welcome to another mind-bending mystery involving a murder and the unveiling of the murderer. And helping to whip off the seven veils, I am delighted to welcome, as ever, two professional crime writers. As well as being one of those, a crime writer that is, Jean McConnell is also an actress, director and playwright. And she is joined today by Keith Miles, who writes a variety of different books under a variety of different names. As Edward Marston, he chronicles the investigations of the Elizabethan actor Nicholas Bracewell. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest investigators. And once again, Foul Play's rogues gallery of wrongdoers and red herrings is played by the wonderful team of Lee Simpson and Maria McCurlin. Right, introductions all done, and it's time for a crime. Let your mental loins be girded as we hear the opening to this week's puzzle, entitled Much Ado About Murder. For no very good reason, the opening takes the form of a sonnet.
'Twas at the court of Queen Elizabeth, a fatal incident we must record, the Duke of Wessex foully done to death by poison that was on an earring poured.
The Queen presented to her favourite peer an earring of one pearl so firm and round. But when he placed the bauble in his ear, he spluttered, writhed, and fell upon the ground.
For Queen and courtiers his death occurred. His wife, the Duchess, gave a mighty cry. Her husband's lips could only form one word. Shakespeare, he murmured, then two more, I die.
And Shakespeare said, this is a crime of violence. The Duke is dead, and so the rest is silence.
I'll give you a clue, Keith and Jean. This week's mystery is set at the court of Queen Elizabeth. Is there anything suspicious in what you've heard so far, except, of course, for the rhymes?
Yes, this bauble. What exactly was the bauble?
This earring, a pearl earring. Mm.
And was his ear pierced?
This is still being investigated.
I think it would have been a pierced ear.
I think it would.
A rich bauble like that could have been snatched off too easily.
Thank you for that historical gloss, Jean. Mm. It's early days anyway. Let's catch up with the official investigations into the murder of the Duke of Wessex, which are being conducted by the officer of the watch, whose name is Dogberry.
Indubitatiously, the Duke be as dead as a doorknob. 'Twere in Her Majesty's throne room that he died, and what killed him was without doubt the poison on the earring. I would like to examinate the earring, but after what I seen it done to his grace, well, I'd be a fool to touch it, wouldn't I? I have, however, spoken to members of the watch who are round the palace watching. That being what members of the watch do. And one of them saw the casket which contained the pearl earring standing on a table in the anteroom of the throne room. It was brought thence at Her Majesty's expressive demand by a common writer fellow who goes by the name of Shakelands or somewhat. The only other person who could have been alone in the anteroom where the casket stood was the Duchess of Wessex. But of course, one durstn't contemporate that a member of the Aristophany might be responsible for such an act of malefraction. Why, one might as soon suspect the Queen herself for administering the poison, as indeed she would have had the opportunity to do, for she too was alone in the anteroom. But to make such an accusative would be treason, and anyone who did this should look to be prospected with the full vigour of the law, yea, even unto hanging, drawing and catering. The Duchess wept when her husband expirated, but Her Majesty and Master Shakelands appeared unmoved. But then, from time immoral, the royal family was ever brought up not to give displays of emulsion.
Well, guest investigators, has the officer's information shed any light yet on this appalling murder?
What type of poison are we talking about? It seems to be very quick acting.
I think you'll find in a lot of Jacobean plays, you know, there are poisons which act almost instantly, and I guess it was one of those. Yes. I think what we need to do next is to hear from some of the individuals involved in the crime, and we'll start right at the top with a statement from Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth of England. I'd call her Queen Elizabeth the First, except, of course, she doesn't know that there's ever going to be another one, so I can't do that. Your Majesty.
For any crime that is committed at my court, I would instinctively blame the machinations of the Spanish king. I will not rest till I have saved this land from the vile papist plots of Spain. And I possess the strength to achieve my aim. For though I have the body of a weak and feeble woman, I have lots of strong men around who are fully prepared to beat people up for me. Master Shakespeare is here at the court for his actor skill to entertain my royal personage. He can be gruff as a sea captain, or affect the piping treble of a virgin shepherdess. He amuses me. And will stay here at court until he ceases to amuse me. The Duke of Wessex had caused me displeasure. He was my favourite, on whom I showered riches, gifts, and titles, and yet he still more highly esteemed his wife than he did his God-anointed queen. When I presented him with the casket which contained the pearl earring, he wished to give it to that Spanish harlot. He only changed his mind when I told him if he did not, I would make him shorter by a head. I know not who would wish the Duke dead, save for his evil Spanish wife, and myself. And of course you cannot suspect me, for I have the immunity of a queen, and a Queen of England, too.
Well, thank you very much, Your Majesty. Right, Keith and Jean, with appropriate deference, you now have 2 minutes to cross-examine the Queen of England. Jean, would you like to put the first question?
Your Majesty, you referred to the wife of the Duke of Wessex. Can you give me any idea your feelings towards her? Because I had a hint that they weren't particularly friendly.
She is a slattern and a harlot.
Yes.
I merely accommodate her because I am so fond, or was so fond, of her husband.
Yes, I think that will do for the moment. I daren't ask you anything else at this point.
I will decide when that will do, young lady.
Yes, Your Majesty, I'm really very sorry, but I'm afraid to ask you the question I would really like to ask.
Fear not, your head is safe for the moment.
Well, it strikes me, Your Majesty, that perhaps you fancy the Duke of Wessex rather much.
Take her to the Tower!
I was afraid of that.
Keith, do you dare to put a question to Her Majesty?
Your Majesty, earlier you quoted from the Tilbury speech in 1588, by which I assume we've already had the Spanish Armada.
Oh, you're very clever, aren't you?
Your inclination towards any of your subjects who married a Spaniard would be to disfavour them.
Yes, indeed.
How close is your relationship with Shakespeare? You spoke of him as a sort of entertainer, a jester around the court.
Forsooth, he is indeed amusing. He makes me laugh.
Would he be there for private occasions, such as this appears to be?
He is there whenever I need him. Should I wake from my slumber at 4 a.m. and need him to be gruff as a sea captain, then he is called to attend me.
So he sleeps in the palace with you?
Are you being impertinent, sir?
I think that's the end of that line of questioning.
Your Majesty, thank you very much. We now move on to our second statement, which was given to Officer Dogberry by the actor who calls himself William Shakespeare. Over to you, Will.
I am just a humble actor with a desire to write plays. I do not expect any of my works will last very long. I write not for posterity, but to pay the grocer's bills. I am fortunate at the moment to be in favour with Her Majesty the Queen. By hanging round the court, I get a good few free meals as well. I know nothing of poisons. When I need them for my plays, like Romeo and Juliet, I make them up. It is a wise rule for all those who would write of crime, when you need a good murder method, invent a poison unknown to medical science. I had met the Duke of Wessex, but I do not know him well. He was a dandy who wore much jewellery and dressed his hair with perfumed oils, and he was certainly the Queen's current favourite. The Duchess, I think, was not best pleased by what was going on. Ah, she's a beautiful woman, though. She's got a fiery temperament. It's hard to be a Spaniard in the atmosphere of this court. No, it would not be seemly for me, a mere humble actor, to speak of love to such a woman. Besides, I have a wife, Anne, who lives in Stratford. I know not who would wish to kill the Duke. nor is much chance of his murderer being discovered by the official inquiries. That Officer Dugbury is a foolish crack brain. Perchance I will put someone like him in one of my plays.
Well, thank you very much, Will. Guest investigators, you now have 2 minutes to question Mr. Shakespeare. Keith, you begin this time.
How did you first get to know the Queen?
Well, I was hanging around, you know, after one of the performances, like, and apparently someone told her about me, about my gruff sea captain's voice and me piping treble like a shepherdess, and so she asked me into her presence and said, "Dare them for me, Shakespeare, dare them." So I did, and she was best pleased. She chortled.
Which did she like best, the old sea captain or the piping treble?
Well, it depends on the mood, you know what I mean. Sometimes, right, she'll have nothing but the sea captain, and then sometimes she'll have nothing but the shepherdess. You can never guess with her.
What was your opinion of the Duchess of Wessex?
Ah, oh, she's beautiful. Absolute cracker.
Was it a happy marriage?
Oh, I wouldn't know, really, you know.
But surely the Duke would never have married her. I mean, he knew in advance there would be enormous problems for himself with regard to the Queen if he married a Spaniard.
Ah, precisely. That's where my guess is. They're very much in love. Very, very, very much in love.
And how did she respond when he was killed?
Ah, she was completely devastated. There was no comforting her. I did both the gruff sea captain and the Virgin Shepherdess. Nothing would touch her. Nothing.
Jean, do you have a question to put to William Shakespeare?
Yes, I think you're talking a lot of nonsense, frankly. I think you're hiding something which was taking place between yourself and the Duchess. What could have suited you more than to get rid of her husband if you were in some sort of relationship with the Duchess?
I wouldn't be in a relationship. Would a Duchess look at a bloke like me? Do you think?
I think she might, because you have a wonderful way with words.
No, thanks very
and
much.
There's nothing like that to it.
Well, maybe you're right. Maybe she did fancy me, you know. Maybe she still does. Hey, what about that, eh? Fantastic.
Thank you very much indeed, Mr. Shakespeare. And we'll now move on to our third statement, which was given by the murder victim's widow, the Duchess of Wessex, formerly known as Donna Maria Teresa Piadora del Espadrillo. Duchess.
I am desolated by my husband's death. We love each other with every part of ourselves, particularly with our bodies. I think the poison was meant for me. Why? Because I am a Spanish. I am proud to be a Spanish. But it is not a popular thing to be here at the court of Queen Elizabeth. The pearl earring that the Queen gave her to my husband, I am sure he would have given it to me. He gave me everything he loved. The matter of poison the earring to kill me. If he or she succeeded, I would be dead, yes, but my beloved husband, he would still be alive. I am a lady of a considerable education. My English is good, though I sometimes say things like mekes when it should be meks. I have translated the plays of my brilliant but lunatic brother Carlos into English, huh? I would not accuse Her Majesty of having killed my husband. Kings and queens have the divine right to do as they wish. I would accuse that little rat, the writer William Shakespeare. It is not respectable to be a writer. That is how we know my brother Carlos, he is mad. Now, please, may I go to vent my sorrow, my husband.
I'm sorry, Duchess, I must ask you to stay a little longer. Jean, would you like to address the first question to the bereaved Duchess?
Madam, you are Spanish.
There are no flies on you, huh?
It just struck me that I wondered if you had any relations who were Italians.
I don't know. Maybe sometimes my accent go a little strange. I'm not sure.
The point being that I wondered if you, by any chance, that in the early part of your family went back to the Borgias.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're getting at. I don't know. I'm too grief-stricken.
Yes, I'm terribly sorry, madam.
I don't kill my husband. I love him. I love my husband, he loves me. Why would I kill the thing I love? Every man kills the thing he loves.
Exactly.
If he goes to the world, he says that soon, but not now.
And a lot of women, too. You're expressing a great deal of grief, but I also detect a certain falsity in this grief.
I don't like you. I don't like her, Mr. Brett.
Oh,
she no believe me. I am a grief-stricken Maria Duchess.
I'm very sorry, Duchess. Maybe you'll find Keith less aggressive.
So. I don't think
no,
so.
No, I doubt
don't
it, but like it's worth trying.
Duchess,
Keith.
Before William Shakespeare of Stratford-upon-Avon came on the scene, the most famous Elizabethan play was called The Spanish Tragedy by Thomas Kidd. And in that, Spain was portrayed as a country which specialised in revenge. Would you call yourself a vengeful person?
I know, listen to this thing. This is the reason where I come from. Is it difficult for me to be in the court of a Queen Elizabeth as a Spanish? You understand, Mr. Keith?
Yes, we understand it's difficult, but also, surely, you would be harbouring feelings of vengeance for the defeat of the Spanish Armada,
and
wouldn't you?
You say, oh, I kill. I kill my husband, who I love. You say I try to kill the Queen.
No, I'm just offering a hypothesis for you to play around with.
I don't want to play around with
you. You don't wish to play around with my hypothesis. Right. Let's just switch the line of questioning. How well did you know William Shakespeare?
I don't know him. He is a writer. He is mad.
Yes, but you said earlier that you translate plays by your brother Carlo, so you're interested in drama, clearly.
My brother, he is mad too. I translate because it helps the English.
Is the Duke of Wessex your first husband?
Yes. And my last husband. I mourn with the song.
Thank you very much, Duchess. I think the Duchess has returned to her castle in Spain. Guest investigators, you now have more information about the circumstances surrounding the Duke of Wessex's death. Has any of it helped at any level to get you nearer naming his killer? Jean, where are your suspicions at the moment?
They very largely lie with the Duchess, I must say.
Really? You must be very careful of confusing an over-the-top performance with signs of guilt. Keith, what are your views?
I'm rather worried about the Queen's attitude, telling us that she's above the law and she can't be questioned. Mm-hmm. She obviously has no knowledge of English history. So I'm rather suspicious. I'd like to know more about her relationship with the Duke of Wessex.
Yes.
And at the point when he broke off from her, what exactly happened?
Well, what you've said is very interesting, and your views may indeed contain a modicum of truth. And now we move on to the next stage of our investigation, in which we discover... Oh, good heavens. A large halberd has just been thrown from somewhere and embedded its point in the top of my desk. And goodness, attached by a pink ribbon to the stock is a roll of parchment. Let me just get this off and unroll it. There's a message here signed by the Wise Woman of Wantage. And it says...
If you the secret of the poison seek, then to the Queen's apothecary you should speak.
And here, rather conveniently, is a bent figure in a black robe and hood. Excuse me, sir, are you the Queen's apothecary?
Aye, that I be.
Well, I wonder if you know anything about the poison that killed the Duke of Wessex.
Aye, that I do. And yet, if I had known to what ill purpose my vile venom would be put, I would never have let it from my sight. Know you, then, that yestermorning I was wakened while the day was yet dark by the beating of one at my outer door. There stood a muffled figure in a hooded cloak whose face I could not see, but who cried to me, and, in a woman's voice, that Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth required my strongest venom for to kill a plague of rats that did infect the royal bedchamber. I, little suspecting any trickery, was obedient to my mistress's command, and gave the potion in a blue glass vial to the dark lady.
And could anyone have got a similar poison from anywhere else?
Impossible. It is mine own receipt. A distillation from the sweat of toads, the scurf of weasels, the secretions of a night owl's liver, and...
Yes, I'd better stop you there. We don't want anyone trying that at home, do we? Well, guest investigators, does the apothecary's new evidence change your views on who committed this dastardly murder?
Yes, I think it does. It brings the Dark Lady of the Sonnets into contention here, I would have thought.
Yes. Do you think she is maybe one of the women we have met?
Possibly. On the other hand, of course, Shakespeare could do this wonderful piping voice, and therefore I'm sure a muffled figure could easily pass himself off as
his virgin shepherdess voice.
Absolutely.
Yes. Well, maybe you need some more information. In the light of what we've heard from the Queen's apothecary about the Dark Lady, The three witnesses may now be recalled, and you two guest investigators are each allowed one question to each of them. So who would you like to call back first? You have the Queen, the Duchess, or William Shakespeare?
Shakespeare, please.
William Shakespeare, will you come forward?
All right.
Have you ever met the Queen's apothecary?
No, never met him.
Are you in the habit of cross-dressing?
I beg your pardon? Now, look, not all actors are like that, you know.
Jean?
Cross-dressing doesn't come into it. All the parts for the women were played by men anyway, so you could just as easily...
I don't do the ladies professionally.
You don't?
No, we have the lads for that, you know.
Yes.
Me virgin shepherdess is more of a cabaret.
You get back to your playwriting.
All right.
Yes. Who would you like to call now, the Duchess or the Queen?
I think I'd sooner call the Duchess, it's safer.
Well, call the Duchess first and then think about the Queen.
Yes.
Duchess. Yes. There.
I'm quite certain in my mind that this relationship with the Duke is that you are professing to be so affectionate. I think that, in fact, there's an enormous amount of jealousy that has welled up inside you. And that the fact that although he married you, he has still been having an affair with the Queen, that this has caused you an enormous amount of jealousy. And the Queen, obviously, can have her way with him.
The Lady Queen, maybe she have her way with who she want to have her way with. But not my husband, because he love me. He love me. This is so rare in the court of Queen Elizabeth, to have real love.
I wonder why, then, he didn't go over and live with you in your country rather than stay at court.
You have business things to talk about here.
Probably funny business with the Queen, yes?
My husband, I know he is faithful to me and me alone. I go now.
Thank you very much, Duchess. And I really think you'd better call the Queen.
You have an apothecary, I understand, a royal apothecary, and therefore someone that you use on a regular basis.
That is indeed the case.
If you had a plague of rats or something like that in the palace, you would send to him for rat poison, would you?
I would send to him, indeed.
Are there any rats about the court?
Ooh, several, madam. I'm not at liberty to name them.
I think we'd better let Her Majesty go. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you so much.
Well, I'm sorry, Keith and Jean, but your investigation is at an end. Armed with a pitiful amount of hopefully confusing information, you must now come up with a solution to this cruel conundrum.
My money would be on the aged crone, actually.
Yes, I'm afraid the aged crone is not in the frame. She has an alibi.
The two people I suspect most are Queen Elizabeth and the Duchess. Mm-hmm. Then I will plump for William Shakespeare.
Right.
Whose position seems to be very anomalous at the court.
Certainly.
And I think that he is in some way implicated, either through his relationship with the Queen or through a clandestine relationship with the Duchess.
Jean.
Well, I must say I have rather veered in my suspicions. I did at first think it had to be the Duchess, but I have now changed my mind because I think perhaps the Queen was involved here.
You suspect the Queen?
Even though it may mean the rack, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I wonder if you have personal reasons, having been sent to the Tower by her. But anyway, that's up to you. But is either of you right? Well, we're about to find out as we hear what really happened in this week's Foul Play, Foul Playlet. Over we go to an anteroom of the court of Queen Elizabeth.
Now, good man Shakespeare, let it be thy task, when I do call thee, to bring forth this pearl.
Aye.
Look, you say not that 'tis for the Duke.
I'll not.
Ah, my love approacheth. Mention not the jewel.
Me lips are locked.
Why, hail to thee, fair queen, whose beauty doth the morning star outshine.
Conserve thy compliments, good Wessex. First, read through this missive under royal seal.
I'll do it willingly, my gracious queen. I long to know my fate.
Now, Shakespeare, come. The piping woman's voice must cause me glee.
Why, yes, for I thy royal maid-in-waiting be.
For heaven, that actor's an untutored knave. But now, what hath my royal mistress writ? Know, Wessex, that thou must my will obey. Tonight unto my chamber come unseen. Ensure that when tomorrow lights the day, thy mistress is no more a virgin queen. Fie, here's a problem.
There's no problem, my lord. Thou wouldst not sure thy fair espouse play false.
Why, no.
Thou spouse whom thou for pet name Pia callst, while I thou Pinky call for love's sake.
Sakes, sweet one. No, thou art mine own true love.
Aye, Pinky, just as surely art thou mine. And should another come betwixt us twain, then by this hand that traitor shall be slain. Oh, but Pinky, who comes here?
Tis Shakespeare, Pierre.
Majesty would have thee forth, my lord, to drip the honey of thy praiseful words before her royal court.
Then I must go.
So, Pinky, thou wilt flatter her, no more than that.
Why, Pierre, no.
He sweareth a true, yet I mistrust the rat. Good Shakespeare, didst thou read thee trifling a play that I translated from my brother's words?
The Merchant of Madrid?
Aye, that's the one. And tell me truly, didst thou find it good?
I fear not, lady, for plays in Spain have been much overdone. Italian settings now the groundlings crave. Besides, that Shylock, money-lending Jew, his character is grossly overdrawn.
Oh, the poor crackpot brother. But thou wilt return the play.
Well, we would have read it further, if I may. As I did with the two gentlemen of Valencia. And that other which thy brother called the timing of the bitch.
Yes, surely. What is this casket that here lies? And who's this earring?
Whose? I surmise it must belong unto our royal queen.
Shakespeare!
Who he now calls me.
I've prepared a little special drinky for anyone who comes twixt me and Pinky.
The Queen desires yon casket in the court.
Then let her have it.
Say, what I have brought.
My lord, this favour would I give to you.
Nay, Majesty, I'll give it to my wife.
Place it in thine ear or answer with thy life.
Well, if that's the case, I'll try it. Beauteous queen. By God, I faint. The Duke hath turned broad green.
Oh, Pinky, how your body shaketh. Why?
Shakes, Pierre.
Good my lord.
I die.
Oh,
this is a crime of violence. The joke is dead. And so the rest is silence.
We now not only know who killed the Duke of Wessex, but also where Shakespeare got his ideas from. Keith and Jean, what can I say? You had three options, and both of you chose the wrong one. Ah, I'm delighted to say it was the Duchess who did the dirty deed. Anyway, that is the end of this week's Shakespearean Foul Play. Till next week, the rest is silence. My thanks, as ever, go to our cast of distinguished thespians, Lee Simpson and Maria McCurlin. And thanks also to this week's doughty guest investigators, Jean McConnell and Keith Miles.
Foul Play was devised and written by the chairman, Simon Brett. The producer was Liz Anstey.